Good morning, church. It is good to see you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't you just love my colleagues, Pastor King and the young Jonathan Rosie? To God be the glory this morning. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Because of love, we are here today. And so before I go any further, I want to take this opportunity to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I greet you in that name this morning. You'll hear me say that often, and more than likely any time I stand here, that's where I'm going to begin, because without Jesus, I wouldn't be here this morning. That's why the young men say, has God been good to you? Because I ask that question all the time, because he's been good to me. And I need for you to know that God has been good to me. Any good you see in me is him. Only the faults and the mistakes are mine. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Come on and worship God with me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to talk for a few minutes. If I have my way, I won't be with you very long. I know my pastor's smiling about that one. But we just want to share a few minutes. But let's just take a moment to commit this time to the Lord before we look into his word. Father, we thank you. We give you honor and we give you glory, for you are good. We thank you that you have allowed us to see today and have the privilege to be in your house together to lift up the name of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that as we spend a few moments looking at the word and sharing, that God, you would reveal yourself to us in a new way. That when we leave this place today, we will say it was good for us to be here. Why? Because we would have experienced the presence of God. Father, that's our desire this morning, to experience your presence. We don't gather together for the sound of our own voices. We want to meet with you. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. We want to experience you. So God, would you move upon your word and move upon us today as we look full in your face and allow the things of this world to grow strangely dim. Father, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're in our series of experiencing the presence. I don't know about you. I've been enjoying this series. How's it going for you? Oh, good goodness. That was a poor response. I'm not feeling great about that. How has it been for you? Come on. Yes. It's been good. Pastor Joel has opened up the doorway and has been teaching us some good things about how to experience the presence. And as we look into the word, we are also using this book by A.W. Tozer, Experiencing the Presence of God. We're also journeying through that. Have you been doing your questions? Have you been following up after the sermons? Come on, y'all. You're supposed to be doing your homework. Come on, come on, come on. We are journeying together through the book of Hebrews. Not just so we can simply learn some more scriptures, but the real hope and desire is that transformation takes place as we journey through the Word of God. That each week when we look at the Word, we receive from the Lord and we go home changed. We go home challenged to be better. We go home with an even greater desire to pursue the presence of God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you all just sitting just looking at me with the deer in the headlight. You know that doesn't work for me, right? Okay, we understand. That's good. So I don't talk at you. I talk with you. We're in conversation together because we are in conversation with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want to give God some glory in the midst of the sermon, I'm not going to stop you, because I'm one of the ones that makes a whole heap of noise in this corner, because God is worthy. He's so 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 worthy. One songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, glory, I'm going there, Jesus. Let me tell you something. If I decide to just worship God for the few minutes I have, you're going to have to see with me. Listen, this week I came under attack, as you do as children of God, right? Especially when you have a little something, something to do for the glory of God. And I tell you, I was going through this week and I was saying, Lord, what is happening right here, right now? My body just seemed to not want to behave itself. And I can't catch my breath. I can't hold a sentence without bursting into a cough from the pit of hell. That's the only way I could describe it. And I said, Lord Jesus, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I thank God for a man of God that he gave me that knows how to lay hands and pray and say, Jesus, move now. You ought to have a bigger amen right there. Come on, y'all. Because there are some times when you're in the thick of it and you can't pray for yourself. You don't feel great. It's not because you don't know that Jesus is real, but the struggle is real in that moment. And I want to say thank God for a husband that knows when to lay that gentle hand and plead the blood of Jesus. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for my husband. I'll say that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't worry, we're going to get to the word. But you see, you know what happens when I come up here? I just get excited. Because God has been so good to me. And he's so real. And right in this moment, he is real. Wherever you are at, he is real. I want to encourage you this morning. That's why I said I better start with my testimony, because somebody needs to be encouraged this morning and reminded that Jesus is nearer than your very next breath. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God, do something this morning. Do something this morning. Do something this morning, Jesus. The short word that I want to share with you, if I would give it a title this morning, is directly from Scripture. But we do see Jesus. But we do see Jesus. Why the but? The but is because everything else tries to come in front of your vision of Jesus. That's why the but. Everything that we deal with on a daily basis seeks to come in front of this wonderful focus and view of our Jesus. But this morning, we are going to see Jesus. Amen? Amen. Comes what may, we're going to see Jesus. If there's a main point, let's say this, because we're going to journey back. We're looking at Hebrews, but we're going to journey back a little bit today. Is that okay? Yes. Okay, okay, good, good. We're going to do a little journey back to set the stage, as it were, before we run up into Hebrews and just cap it with that word. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. The main point is we lost everything. As mankind, back in the garden, that story that we hear so often, we lost everything in the fall of man. But because of the God that we serve, the love story that has started from the beginning of time, he sent Jesus. And because of Jesus' selfless death and resurrection, a way was made for the restoration of man. And so we give God thanks for that. Our key scripture from Hebrews this morning is taken from chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And it reads, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Verse 10 says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation, perfect through what he suffered." Now I read those and ask you to just table that for a moment, because we're going to journey a little bit and we're going to double back to that place. We were created, man was created by the mighty hand of God. Scripture says he fashioned us from the dust of the earth. God himself created us. We were created for communion with God. We were created to be in the presence of God. That's how we were formed. So that is naturally, that's innately built in us, to want to be in the presence of God. As I mentioned the book that we're reading alongside this series, I love how Tozer says it. And I want to share this with you. "Of all God's creation," he says, "man is the only creature implanted with spiritual aspirations, leading him to prayer and worship. Wherever you find man, you'll find him engaged in some sort of worship. No mistake about it," he says. "Something within the creature lifts itself up in response to something within the Creator. That something is the great mystery of the human heart, created in the image of God." I love the way that he words that. We were created in the image of God, created to reflect God. Let's just get a definition of that word. Imago Dei translated the image of God. This theological term, applied only to humans, denotes the symbolical relationship between God and humanity. And we jump to scripture now. Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" God created us, I would say, with status. We were created and placed in a place of rulership. God gave us charge over everything. He put that in our hands. This was God's original plan. Point one. God's original plan was for us to rule, was for us to stand in that place and take care of everything that God placed under our feet. But trouble came knocking. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then we get to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. And that reads, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye," oh God bless us, "and also desirable for gaining wisdom, She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. In that moment, we abdicated rulership. We stepped out of the will of God and had to pay a high price for disobedience. But I turn back to a God who sees us through eyes of love and great compassion, that even in our failure, our faults, and our shortcomings, God loved us nonetheless. And in that moment, God was crafting a way to bring us back to that place. Walking out of the will of God, we broke relationship that was pure, that was complete, that was unadulterated. The whole purpose became distorted because we stepped away from God's plan. And I want to thank God today that he didn't leave it there. He started to put a plan in action to bring us back, to give us access again to that relationship with him, that closeness, that togetherness, that communion, that connection that we were made with. And so God found a way to reveal himself to us in Jesus. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Because of that, God, oh hallelujah, God sent his Son Jesus. Jesus, who stepped down and took on flesh, became as we are, walked among us, felt what we felt, ate what we ate, saw what we saw, did what we did. Jesus became our way of escape. When he could have said, "No, maybe not my choice. Father, maybe not me." He humbled himself. He bowed his head and surrendered to servanthood so that we could have a way back to the place we forfeited when we fell. What manner of love is this? One that we cannot even comprehend. One that we cannot understand. And yet, he did it for us. God sent his Son Jesus to walk on this earth as human flesh, to step into humanity, to become who we are, so he could understand whatever we go through. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus came, that he paid the price that I could not pay. Jesus did that for me. And just in case you weren't sure, let me confirm this morning that you are the reason Jesus went to the cross. I am the reason Jesus went to the cross. My name was on that list when Jesus said, "I'll go," because he knew I wouldn't have it in me. There's no way I could become an ultimate sacrifice. But Jesus said, "For Rose, I will go. For Pastor Greg, I'll go." so that John can sit on the camera today. I will go. That is what Jesus did for you and I. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 said, in who, being in very nature God, and I know this bends the mind every time, but he was fully God, the Bible says. I love that word, you know, it's just so complete. Thank you, Jesus. He was fully God and fully man. Who could it be but God who could do this? Nobody else. Philippians 2, 6 and 8. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Oh my God. Can I read that again? Are you all with me this morning? All right. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. That tells me he could have done it if he wanted to. One songwriter said, when talking about the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels, destroyed the world, and been set free. But instead, he chose to hang for me. He hung for me. He hung for me. That I might have life and have it more abundantly. God didn't do anything in half measures. He sent the complete package. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The price Jesus paid brings us freedom, brings us deliverance, brings us breakthrough, brings us hope, brings us peace, brings us joy. All the things that we never would have had it not been for Jesus. Are you glad for Jesus this morning? Are you glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. He walked a hard road so that we could too walk. Isaiah 53 says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Another translation said, he was acquainted with our grief, and I love that. Like one of whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. I think about that saying that says, never judge a book by its cover. Look at the treatment Jesus received. Look at what he faced, encountered, and bore for us. How people saw him as less than nothing even. And yet this body encapsulated the Savior of the world, the one that would give us the opportunity to be princes and princesses, the one that would allow us to walk with our heads held up high. Because people, in case we didn't know, we are not that great. We are not that fantastic. If some of us detracted Jesus from our lives, we'd be an absolute mess, because that's what we were before he found us. Okay, I won't get a lot of amen, but I know it's true. I've had my journey too. If it had not been for the love of Jesus, we couldn't look as great as we do. I look down in this congregation and I see a group of beautiful people that have been beautified by salvation, because of the cost that Jesus paid. And I don't want us to lose sight of that, because when we lose sight of what the power of what that is, we become complacent. And we don't want to do that. Because if we become complacent, we're not going to be in the presence. We're not going to be in the presence. Because of Jesus, we now have access. An access that was taken an access that we gave up. But now, because of Jesus, through him, we have direct access to our mighty God. And that's something for us to rejoice about. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't need to wait a year. Pastor Joel talked last week about the past days in comparison to the last days. And in the past days, when we would have to gather up all the issues and the sins and the problems, get the sacrifices ready for the high priest to take it on our behalf. But in these last days, we don't need to wait a year, and we don't need to plan a whole heap of sacrifices, because the sacrifice has already been paid. And I can call Jesus right now, right here. I don't need to wait. I don't need to build an altar. I don't need to be in a special place, because he's right here, nearer than our very next breath. And with that knowledge, knowing that we now have access back into that place, a promise that God made to us, we would return to that place of rulership. And I know today, when we look at our lives, sometimes we don't see that, right? When you think about all the things that we have to deal with and we are challenged by, and the things that we don't seem to have control over, the things that the death of Jesus covered. But I want to remind you, we're still in this journey. We haven't made it home yet. But I'm glad to say that this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. That there's a time coming when we will be no more subject to time or sickness, concerns, problems, won't have to clock in at the office anymore, because we'll be going home. Yeah. Oh, you're not going home. Oh. I'm so glad this world is not my home. I am only passing through. There's a time coming for me when this robe of flesh will drop, and I will rise to seize the everlasting prize. When we say goodbye to all the things that have cost us pain and tears, when we enter a time where there is no time, and we will rejoice in the presence of the Lord indefinitely. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus stepped into humanity so that we could make it back to the place that God originally gave us. I'm so grateful to him for his love that extends way beyond what I can even imagine. If God had treated me the way I deserved, I would not be here today. But because scripture says, greater love than this hath no man, than he would lay down his life for a friend. Jesus laid his life down for me and for you, so that we could return to that place. And it's love. That's the root of the action. It's love. God loves us unconditionally. I know I falter every day, but my God loves me nonetheless. And for that, I am grateful. And so with that, we head to Hebrews chapter 2, main verses as we read earlier, verses 9 and 10. Verses 5 through 8 are not in your notes, but we're going to hold that there, but I'm just going to read those. It says, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man that you would care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see anything. We do not see everything, subjected to them. And I wanted to highlight that last part. In all of what is said in the word and God has promised to us, sometimes we look at the current circumstances and we don't see everything subject. We're still held ransom by sickness, suffering, and all of those things. And so my encouragement to you is, now we go to verse 9. Of all the things that we see, but we do see Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, I feel Jesus this morning. Praise God. But we do see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while. Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And I just want to pause here and say, when we read taste in this portion of scripture, it's not talking about a little nibble of a tasty food. It's talking about experiencing death in its entirety. When the Bible says taste death for everyone, that's what it means, that Jesus really experienced death on our behalf. Verse 10 says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom anything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Have you heard that saying ever, walk a mile in my shoes? And sometimes we may look at a circumstance and think we fully understand what the person is going through, but we really can't because we haven't been there. And I try to be careful with my words because it's so easy to say, oh, I understand. I know what you've been through, and you really don't. And sometimes that can be quite damaging. And I just love that saying when I think about this and I think about Jesus. Walking a mile in our shoes. Jesus made our shoes and he broke them in. There's nothing that we can do or experience that he doesn't know. When Jesus came to this world, when God manifested himself to us through his son, he could have chosen any entry he wanted. He could have come as a prince. He could have come as a king. He could have come as a man of great wealth. But he chose to come as a baby in a stable. If you tell me to have my baby in a stable, I'm telling you, you better sort your life out. It's not happening. Ain't nobody going to list all the germs and all the infections and all the things. But that's how Jesus came. He came and entered at the lowest point so that everybody was captured. There was no lower point for you to go, for him to go. He grew, he walked among us, he suffered as we do, he felt pain like we do, anguish, temptation. Nothing Jesus didn't experience, but he never said no. He walked it out. He lived the life and was obedient even unto death. There is nothing more that we could ask of Jesus because he gave it all. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if I may, with all the things that we see and all the things that we don't see, would we see Jesus, the one who came, the one who walked, the one who lived, the one who died, the one who rose again, so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 9 talks about Jesus now being crowned with glory. No longer a babe in the manger. No longer hanging on the cross. No longer coming out of the grave. But is now seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the glory that we sons and daughters are being called back to. Amen? Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're heading for something great. We're heading to spend infinite time. Oh, glory to God. Infinite time in the Master's presence, where we won't have a need for a timekeeping device, but we will worship him. And I won't even say from morning till night, because there's no time, so I'm not going to worry about the point of day. But just knowing that we will be in the presence of the Almighty indefinitely, not touched by anything else but the glow of his power on our faces. Not feeling anything else but the impression of his love on our hearts. Not knowing anything else or worrying about anything else except I am home. I am home. Nothing like getting home after a long day when you just let it all go. Imagine when that feeling never ends. When we are positioned right where we were always meant to be, in the Father's presence, joining the angels and bowing down and saying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. What a day. What a day. And so can I encourage you this morning, church? Whatever is in your focus right now. And I know there are a great many things that we are all dealing with in the room. But that's okay. Because Jesus can handle it all. My encouragement to you today. Can we shift our focus onto Jesus? Regardless of the many things. I've met with various people during the week and had the humble privilege to journey with people through some challenging times. So I know stuff is happening. But just like me this week, I had to shift my focus away from how I was feeling in my physical man to see my Savior and to be encouraged and reminded that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think of him. And so my encouragement to you today, it's an invitation to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, and let the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. We do see Jesus. He is present with us. He is closer than our very next breath. And with all the things that want to stand in the way of that clear sight, I encourage you this morning to remind yourself, when the challenges come, that we do see Jesus, for he is present with us. Stand with me, church, if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back to us. And I just want us to take a moment to bow our heads and hearts before a mighty God. You know the things that rest on your heart. I don't, and I don't need to. But we serve a God who does. And as we stand in this place, in the presence of the Almighty, let's take a moment just to turn our hearts toward Him. Take a moment to release some things to Him. And take a moment to make room for Him to draw even closer to you. Father, we bless you this morning. And we thank you. The question in the song says, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. God, we cannot fathom this morning, but we bow our hearts in humble gratitude and we say thank you. Thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. And for sending your Son so that we could have a way to get back to you the way you always planned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us more than we could imagine, more than we deserve. We bow in your presence and we say thank you. Bless us all together in this place, we pray, God. Move by your Holy Spirit amongst us. Let your perfect will be done in our lives. Today and always until you call us home. And the church said, amen. Amen. Church, God bless you. I had forgotten to mention earlier that, you know, you got your questions. And there will be a QR code that comes up later. You can get your questions. So look out for your questions this week. I just want to speak a word of blessing over the house this morning. Turn your hands up to Jesus where you stand. If you can stand. Father, today in the name of Jesus, would you open the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit upon everyone in this place. God, we know that you are present, and we know that after we share time with you, there's a possibility that everything wants to be topsy-turvy after this. But God, I place every one of your sons and your daughters before you today. As our hands are turned up, Father, we do so in submission to you because we want to receive from you. God, give us each our portion, we pray, and let the blessing of God flow through each one of us as conduits. God, as you pour in, then we pour out only for your glory and no one else. Bless your people today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.